Alan Mercer, your father's life story is fascinating. Your father, John Mercer, was only 19 years old when he was captured and held as a Far East prisoner of war for 3.5 years. Can you tell us about your father's story?
John joined the army when he was 19, and he was seconded to the 135th Hertfordshire Yeomanry, attached to the Royal Artillery, 18th Division. His commanding officer was one Colonel Susie, who was very, very popular with his men. They were supposed to go out to India on the... They went out on the SS Mount Vernon to India. But when they got to India and Mombasa, they were then diverted to Singapore. It was there that, in Singapore, that John... His life changed somewhat because he belonged to the what they call the B-echelon. He was a truck driver. And one day he had a leaking fuel pipe on the truck, and he said to his sergeant, "Can I take this up to the depot and get it repaired?" And the sergeant said, "Yeah, by all means. Leave your kit here, it'll be okay." But something told me, "Dad, no," and he put it on the truck. Got the truck repaired, and when he got back, all his comrades had been killed.
Did your father share his experiences with you?
He shared that one with us, and he must have stored it in his memory for over 50 years. On the 50th anniversary of VJ Day, he never showed much emotion, Dad, but on the 50th anniversary, Mum said, "Go on, have a drink for the lad who didn't come home." And he just stood up, looked out the window, and said, "Oh, for the sake of a fuel pipe, that I'm still here." But otherwise, he said, "I would have been butchered with the rest of me.
I spoke with Lynn Scott yesterday about her father Roy, and your father and Roy were both friends.
Yeah.
Where did they meet?
They met when they were both members of the Manchester Far East Prisoners of War Club in Manchester. That's when they met. They didn't meet out in the Far East. Lynn's father used to be a special, he was a police inspector in the special. And he used to be in charge of the police when they did the parade in Manchester. And then when he retired, he joined the FIPOs, and that's how they became friends. Lynch's father was the last man to see my dad alive. He came to see him in hospital when he was ill.
So that must have been a great comfort for them both later on in life to meet and have that support with each other.
Well, they had that comradeship with all the boys in the Manchester club. My dad. When the Manchester Club was formed in 1947, my dad went to the first meetings. But then, with work commitments and that, he didn't go. And all his working life, he didn't attend any meetings. He just seemed to want to forget. But when he was 60 and he retired, there was an article in the Manchester Evening News that the Northwest Annual Far East Prisoners of War Parade was being held in Manchester. And right out of the blue, he just said to my mum, "I think I'll go." And now my mum couldn't go with him because she was going away. But I went with him. And that from there, he joined the association and he met up with a lot of ex-comrades. And from there, he went back out for a holiday with my mum's eldest brother. I mean, I've got loads of photographs.
I was just going to ask you that question, actually. Did your father keep records of his time during the war?
He kept a small diary, and I've still got it, but it's in pencil. It's very faded. But my sister took some extracts from it. I'm just looking for it now in the book.
I know that we've got... Sorry to interrupt there, Alan. I've read a little bit that you've sent in for the article in the Tameside Reporter about your father having a very moving experience as well with his 21st birthday and having a friend share his rations with him.
Yes, when he was 21, he told us the story. When he was 21, every FIPO, when they were prisoners, had a pal, and these behind two of them or three of them that looked out for each other. And his pal was a chap called Rupert Wilton. And on his 21st birthday, Rupert shared his rice ration with him. Not that they got much, but that was the comradeship that they had. And their motto was to keep alive the spirit that kept them alive.
And your father was shipped to Japan and was near Hiroshima when the bomb fell. How did he make it home safely from that point?
Right, what happened there, when the railway was finished, didn't actually work on the railway, he was a Japs runner. He used to look after the officers and that and run them errands and run after them. That was his job. But when the railway was finished, it was all shipped over to Japan to work, and my dad was put on a ship called the Osaka Maru. They hit a very bad storm, and it was stinking, and the Japanese batten them all down in the hold to kill them off. But fortunately, someone was smiling down on Dad, and he got away, and he finished up on the coast of Hiroshima, where he was working in a factory for a while, and then they moved him to an iron foundry, and he said where the very steep cliffs. So I would imagine when the atom bomb went off, that sheltered him.
Gosh, that's fascinating. Alan, how important is it to share stories about the war?
Well, I think it's very important for the next generation. It should never be forgotten. I mean, my dad's parents, when they heard about his brother being killed, they think it should have all been forgotten. And we never argued with them, but that was their belief. I think it should be taught in the school and it should be remembered. And I'm pleased to see that a lot of the children today are taught all about what their grandparents and the great-grandparents went through in that generation.
Alan Mercer, thank you so much for sharing some of your father's story with us.
You're welcome.
It's been a real honour and a privilege to talk with you.